Griezmann, el niño Torres, hay campo para Griezmann, hay campo para Griezmann y veo gol, y pinta bien, y pinta bien, y pinta bien, gol.
Hello and welcome to Colchonero Chat, the podcast of record of IntoTheCalderon.com, a proud member of the SB Nation family of blogs. This is very exciting. I'm Jeremy Barron, the co-manager of Into the Calderon. You can follow me on Twitter at JB Barron. And I'm joined today for our inaugural episode by Robbie Dunn. You can follow him on Twitter at
Bob Dunnadini.
There you go.
Is that my cue to enter?
Yeah, it's kind of your cue.
Right. Yeah, Bob Dunnadini is where you can find me.
There you go. Robbie joins me from Ireland. I am currently standing in my apartment in suburban Phoenix, Arizona. So a little bit of a time difference, but we've made it work. Like the team we cover, we've made it work. We rallied together and we've made it work.
Perfect, yeah. That's I hope it works out like this summer as well. We've got a bit of news to discuss, I think. Word coming down, but yeah, we'll cover it all in the next hour, I suppose.
We do. We have a lot to cover, and again, this is our first episode, and we're very excited about it. We've grown enough to where we were able to do this. As I wrote in the post that announced Colchonero Chat, we've been around 9-10 months, and we really do want to thank everyone on Twitter, Facebook, who's helped us along the way, who's given us a like here and there, a retweet here and there. It's really helped us out and have enabled us to grow our brand to where we can do this.
Yeah, sounds good.
So with that in mind, we hope that this is the one-stop audio shop. We really hope that you get as much out of this, you have as much fun listening to it as we have creating it. And this is just the start of the long, winding road. It's going to get even crazier from here on out. So I do hope you stick with us.
Please don't let the first episode be your, first impressions are important, but we will get better at this. I just said to Jeremy that we're both amateurs. We're both learning the trade of podcasting, talking live, things like that. So bear with us and we'll find our voice.
Yeah, we will. There may be a couple missteps here and there, but we're on our way.
Yep.
So let's dive right into it. And the first thing that we should talk about is kind of the elephant in the room, the biggest issue revolving around Atletico Madrid right now. Is the striker search, the search for the number nine. And it's something that it's been, you know, I'm tired of talking about it, honestly. I'm tired of writing about it.
Mm.
don't you just kind of want it to happen? And we got some news this week that, you know, it may be closer than ever, but then it may not. It's a storyline that has dominated the summer. And yeah. One player in particular has dominated that storyline, and it's Diego Costa.
Yeah, yeah.
Our former number nine, who's now at Chelsea, or number 19, who's now at Chelsea. And the rumors started last year in the Spanish press that he wanted to come back to Spain, that he wasn't very happy in London. And those rumors haven't really gone away. But this week, we may have received some traction on getting a final resolution to this situation, this year-long saga, if you know what I mean. It's been a very strange situation, hasn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, it sounds like now that Chelsea, as a matter of principle, aren't going to even engage in negotiations if we were to throw a bid out there. But, and to be honest with you, I don't blame them. It's poor form on Atletico's behalf talking about a player like that. Almost, and I said this on Twitter, almost as if he's still an Atletico player and he never truly left. And as if it's just a matter of time before he comes back. Chelsea are a proud club. They've got an owner who has an extraordinary amount of money. He's not going to sell for financial purposes. He doesn't need to. As a matter of principle, I think we can rule Diego Costa out now. Relive all the memories. Remember them. We'll never forget you, Diego. But I think that ship has sailed. And we need to move on. And yeah, you're right. I mean, in terms of being tired of talking about it, we knew this was coming now for the last, since Jackson Martinez really started to struggle, we could see, which was maybe 7-8 months ago. I went to see them play in Levante in January, and I was just saying then, I said this, oh no, it wasn't, was it January? Yeah, it was January, yeah. Just before they sold him, and I said, this is a broken man. I said, he is...
I remember
just,
that.
He's just exhausted. I said, he doesn't look like... He just... His confidence was absolutely shattered. And, yeah, they sold him soon after. It was a surprise. I thought they might wait until the summer, but they ended up selling him. And we knew this was coming, and it's a matter now of... it's something actually that Diego Costa maybe needs to have a look at in terms of his style. It's one area where he has, I won't say failed, like, he hasn't failed, but there's a very specific striker that he needs, and players find it hard to adapt to his style, strikers in particular. So it's not just a matter of going out and buying a number nine. It's going to take a specific personality. It's going to take a specific type of physicality. He needs to be quick. And I guess you could say that about all number nines around the world, but with Diego Simeone's system, it needs to be a particular striker. So he has to be careful here in the market and make sure that he doesn't buy another Jackson Martinez or Vieta or Mandzukic.
Yeah. That's a really good point, that it's a very, very specific striker that Simeone requires, and that's also why this search has become so protracted. It's become so stressful because there are only a handful of strikers who really fit this mold. Costa is you know, one of them. Chelsea aren't really under any pressure to let him go. The player has not handed in a transfer request. The Spanish press said he did. The English press vehement that he hasn't.
Yeah.
And that would be the one thing that would make a move, that would put the wheels in motion if Costa were to hand in a transfer request. But he hasn't.
No.
I think he wants to give Conte a chance.
Yeah.
And Chelsea, it's very difficult for Chelsea to replace him if they were to even sell him, because they don't have European football to offer. They have gobs of money, but no European football.
Well, I think if something was to happen and Chelsea even suggested they were willing to sell him, he would move back. I think he would enjoy a move back.
Me too.
Yeah, I mean, Atletico, whether or not they're going to make it to another final, they're going to be competitive in the Champions League. They're going to be in the top three. You'd have to. We'll talk about that later. But they're going to be in the top three in La Liga. They're playing big games, big European nights. Costa knows he loves it there. He loves to play all the squad. It's not that there hasn't been that much of a turnaround since he left. He knows the managers, the coaches. So he would jump. I think he would move in a heartbeat. But Chelsea have been loyal to him. Chelsea showing faith in him. By buying him for such a price and keeping him and stuff like that, and they have a new manager, new system, new setup, new players coming in, and I think that they haven't shown in any situation yet that they wanted to ship him out. So yeah, that's, I think it's a no go. But yeah, the news about Gamero is interesting too. You know,
yeah, that's the guy that Atleti seemed to have targeted. Sevilla's number nine, Kevin Gamero. 29-year-old Frenchman, scored 29 goals last season in all competitions. And he kind of fits the mold. You know, I've watched Gamero a lot. He kind of fits the mold. He has the dynamism. Yeah, and he has a bit of the dynamism that Simeone requires. A lot of times you see him in the center circle starting counterattacks, creating chances, most likely finishing them.
Yeah.
But Gamero is a class striker. I mean, he's 29 years old. He's going to cost – he might cost $40 million, but that's the going rate. That's the inflation of the market. Even for a player that age, that's the inflation of the market. But he's a better fit than Carlos Bacca, you know?
Yeah, that's right.
Probably a better fit than Bacca. Probably a better fit than Higuain or Icardi.
Mm. Yeah, I mean – well, I'm a huge fan of Icardi. I think he – but I'm not sure about his personality.
Yeah, that's the big issue with him. Yeah. His wife / agent seems to – want to cause a lot of problems.
Yeah. So, and he, he fell out with one of his teammates before. He kind of strikes me as a non-Diego Simeone type personality.
Yeah.
Although you could say it was, well, not really Costa. Costa's just fiery. But Gamero is, yeah, you're right. Gamero is, he's fiery, he's quick, he could be physical, but again, it's kind of like a, it's a seller's market, I think, is what they refer to.
Yeah.
Right now, Atletico are kind of beholden to what's out there, and in terms of like Lukaku might work, but I mean, that's you're looking at 65, 70 million for him, and that's even before he was even, we don't even know if he wanted to go. So, I mean, Gamero has proven himself in La Liga, in Europe. He's fiery, he's lively, he gets goals, he can be physical. Like, Miran from the managing Madrid was just saying, no, to me, keep Vieto. And at first I disagreed, but then I was thinking about it and stuff. And he probably is, his skepticism is totally justified. And I am skeptical about it, but I think he's the best option out there based on the fact that he is proven in La Liga and in Europe, and he's only moving up the road to Madrid, and he seems like the kind of guy who will settle in well at Atleti and score you maybe 15 to 17 goals in a season during La Liga. So, I mean, that's all we're looking for, really, when you've got Griezmann, Gaitán and Carrasco there to pick up the rest of the load, you know?
Yeah, you're not looking for Gamero to score, you know. He scored 16 in the league last year. That's about the haul Atletico will look for, 12 to 16 goals.
Yeah.
From him, the reports yesterday said Atletico were close to a deal. They've already received a yes from the player. They need to talk to Sevilla now. And Sevilla are interested in Vieto, which could make a deal go down a little bit easier.
Mm.
Maybe even get him for less than his buyout.
Yeah.
It's not done yet, but it could happen.
I mean, in reality, and once I did think about Miran's point, what would be ideal for Atletico was Vieto goes to Sevilla on a year loan. We get Gamero on a permanent contract for whatever price it is. Keep him for a year or two. Bring Vieto back in, and at that stage we'll know whether Vieto is up to it or not, I suppose. And then you can make a decision. But I do think selling Vieto now is a little bit we're a little bit trigger happy on that one. But
there has to be a buyback if you're going to sell him.
Yeah,
there has to be. As hard as I was on him last year, as difficult as it was to watch him last year, he's still so young.
Yeah.
And he showed at Villarreal how classy he is.
Yeah.
So you can't give up on him that quick.
No, it is harsh.
You could sell him for 15, 20 million with a buyback in a couple of years and see where you're at when he is 24.
Yeah.
Hopefully more mature and stronger.
Yeah. Or the other possibility is that Vieto has just literally given up on ever adapting, which is the other thing we're talking here, is if he's going to develop, and he probably will, but whether or not he's going to develop within Simeone's system is the thing. And I think maybe Simeone has seen him now and seen that no, he is not going to adjust, and that's the only thing. So developing is all well and good, he will develop into a fine striker, but whether or not he's going to be able to do that at Atletico is another thing, or whether or not he's going to be able to do it somewhere else and slot back in at Atletico is another thing. So I mean, if he just doesn't fit, no matter how much developing he does, he's not going to ever excel in under Simeone. And that will probably break Simeone's heart, because he does like the player. He has a history with the player.
Yeah, he gave him his debut in Argentina.
Yeah, right. So I think that will hurt him, but Atletico, I think Vieto is the only one maybe that's holding it up on the Sevilla to Atletico side, because he has his heart set on Barcelona. Sevilla seem to have a really good relationship with Atletico. We've sent Kranovitter there. And also, why would Atletico want to sell to Barcelona? Would they should yeah. be selling
it worked
to...
last year. It gave him Marta Turan.
Yeah.
Worked last year.
Yeah, that did actually, yeah. But, yeah, he looks like he's on his way out too. But, no, yeah, you're right. Sell them Carrasco, sell them Siquiera, sell them, a few of those. We'll sell them Cherchi. See how...
Yeah.
But, as Alex
we don't
Ferguson
want
said,
another Cherchi situation, my God.
As Alex Ferguson said, I wouldn't sell them a virus. But, no, it's interesting. Something is going to happen, though. Vieto probably won't be playing his trade. To use your cliche at the Calderon next year.
I mean, there are a lot of worse places he could go than Sevilla. You get Champions League football. You get a pretty good coach in Sampaoli and a new system. He gets playing time as well. He wouldn't get that at Barcelona.
No. And I suppose that's what, if they do sell him to Barcelona, they're relying on the fact that he's not going to really make that much of an impact. I mean, really, well, it's not really against them that he, like, it's not a just against Atletico will Vieto star, but just kind of when he does fill in, he'll get wins and he'll be able to score goals, important goals for them, picking up points along the way. So you're strengthening a rival, but if Simeone is still of the opinion that we're just fighting for third or fourth, then let Barcelona sign up all the best players, let them off, forget about them, they're going to finish ahead of us anyway. And Real Madrid likewise, and it's a battle then between us, Sevilla, Villarreal, Bilbao, stuff like that. So yeah,
yep.
But we'll see, it'll be interesting, but I think something will happen there soon.
It looks like we're getting closer to a resolution. There was a report this morning that maybe Simeone wants this done by the weekend.
Mm.
We talked about it a little bit on the blog's Twitter account. So maybe it will happen. Maybe it won't. Maybe we'll be linked with Icardi again tomorrow. Who knows?
Yeah, right. Costa will be flying.
Yeah, Costa finally hands in that transfer request.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm sure it'll keep going until something does snap. So we'll just have to put up with it, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, they travel to Australia next week, so maybe they get something done by then. The hope is that they get something done before they head out to Australia.
Hmm.
But we'll see.
They're playing Numancia tomorrow.
Numancia tomorrow.
Yeah, yep. At 11. So we'll tune in
for
that.
We'll have that covered for you.
Yeah, see what Simeone does in that one.
So moving on a little bit now to the other transfers in and out of the club. Coming into the club, the biggest entry, we'll talk about him a little more in depth in a little bit. Nico Gaitán coming over from Benfica for 25 million euros. A great signing.
Yeah.
Really a quality player. Yeah. And we'll talk a little bit about how he fits and how maybe it could lead to a tactical adjustment from Cholo. Shime Vrsaljko also coming in from Sassuolo to back up Juanfran, 24-year-old Croatian, very highly rated in Italy. One of the best right backs in Serie A last season. He comes over for less than 20 million.
Yeah.
And Diogo Jota as well, coming over from Portugal, Passos de Ferreira, in a 7 million euro deal. You talked with Jan Hagen of Portugal about him. Yeah, tell us a little bit about Jota and what we can expect from him.
Yeah, apparently he's Jan was saying that if he's not one of the best exports from Portugal in the next maybe 5 years, he'd be very, very surprised. So it appears as though Simeone has done his homework on this one. He's creative. He scores goals. He's quick. I'd imagine he will go out on loan, though, because
yeah, he's 19, I think.
Yeah, and Atletico.
He needs experience.
Yeah, I was just looking at it there. Like, I mean, he has last year there was four midfielders who played 40 plus minutes, and Oliver. They were purely midfielders. But then he, in terms of just forwards, he had just three who played 35-plus games. So there was Griezmann, you had, Griezmann, Torres, and then Vieto? No, Correa, actually it was.
Correa.
Yeah, so those three guys, when we were talking about switching to a 4-3-3, I'm not entirely sure where all these players fit in. And, I mean, it just seems to be a ploy by Atletico to snap up the young talent, emerging talent, and loan them out for a couple of years. But, I mean, in terms of his midfield right now, he's going to have to loan out Bernard Mensah, Diego Jota, Oliver Torres is going to have to go somewhere. And then you've got Carrasco, Gaitán, Griezmann fighting for those wing positions. Well, Griezmann's not really fighting for any position.
No, he's got his spot nailed down.
Yeah, so yeah, it's interesting to see what way he goes. And then he's also got a little bit of a backlog in midfield in terms of Augusto, Saul, Koke, Thomas, and Thiago coming back. I mean, is Thiago going to be Gabby as well, who was absolutely excellent last year.
Terrific. Yeah.
Yeah, so is Thiago and Augusto going to split time? And then you see maybe Koke, and see then, because I don't think he's going to have Koke out on the left. If he's going to switch to 4-3-3, he's going to have to play more central, and he was a lot more effective last year when he did go into the centre. So, and but then also Saúl has to start, so you've got, say, Thiago / Augusto, Gabi, and then Koke, Saúl, and then you've Thomas coming in when necessary, I suppose.
You know? Yeah, and this is perfect. This kind of leads into the next thing I want to talk about, was this potential switch to a 4-3-3. And if Atletico stay with a 4-4-2, they can rotate, you know, the four-man midfield out perfectly. You know, your first-choice midfield will be Gabi on the right, Gaitán on the left, with Koke and Saúl in the middle. That's a really damn good midfield. Then you can rotate it out completely. You can have Tomas on the right, Carrasco on the left, with Augusto and Thiago in the middle. You know, that can be for Copa matches. That can be for, you know, the end of the group stage in the Champions League. You know, match, you know, fixtures against some of the lesser La Liga teams. If you go to a three-man midfield, you lose a bit of your width and kind of what would make Atletico more dangerous. Gaitán can play on the left of the three forward, you know, system. He can play to Griezmann's left, yeah. And Griezmann can be, you know, can have Gamero or whoever on his right.
Yeah,
but you kind of lose the width if you go to 4-3-3, and you'll be more offensive. I think it'll Gaitán and Griezmann will be a pretty lethal combination.
And it means Griezmann just kind of plays as more of an inside forward, I guess, starting out wide and coming in, which would be fine. I mean, he's okay there, and he showed against France. I think he can play in the centre as well. So like that's possible, and Gaitán adds massive amount of speed to the counter attack. Carrasco, I mean, it's a strange one, because I think Carrasco did enough to earn maybe a starting place, but it looks like he probably won't now if it does go like that, unless Griezmann starts up front.
And I think Carrasco is better as a substitute.
Yeah.
I think he's a guy, in the Champions League, you saw this against Bayern, how he came on in Munich and kind of changed the game. He came on in the Champions League final and, you know, scored the equalizer in that game. So I think he has much more of an impact as a super sub. I don't think he wants that role. He's capable of starting for a lot of teams.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Including this one, but purchasing Gaitán, who I think is just a cut above him, is more experienced.
Yeah.
Has more of the quickness and the dribbling and the diagonal ball that Atletico really sorely needed last season.
Yeah, no, I agree completely. But
Gaitán starts above him.
Yeah, but whether or not Carrasco subscribes to that thought is another thing. He probably thinking now, I've done enough to...
Yeah, why wouldn't he think that? I don't blame him.
Yeah, so, and you have to have that competition. That's fine, and we'll see. We'll get a right good look tomorrow, hopefully, just see what Simeone's thinking. I mean, he could play a dummy 11, or I don't know what he's going to do, but we'll have a look tomorrow and see what he's thinking, and we'll be able to analyse it and have a look. But Carrasco probably thinks he can start, but I mean, you need that competition as well, but Gaitán, definitely, if you were judging it purely on merit right now, Gaitán is probably a better, will start ahead of Carrasco and that left side.
And Carrasco can also play in the 4-3-3, and a lot of times he was the third forward. He was on the left wing when Atletico did come out with three forwards, so the competition should be healthy and should encourage both players to give it their all, and I don't see how it can hurt.
Yeah.
I don't really see how it can hurt Atletico. One other player I wanted to talk about, just taking it back to transfers really quickly, Borja Bastón.
Yeah.
He's a guy who Atletico fans have been talking about for a while. Will he finally get his chance in the first team? Scored 18 goals at Eibar last year. Tremendous season, 18 goals in 36 games. And would he finally get the chance this season? Right now, it doesn't really seem like he will. He broke his arm in training last week.
Yeah.
Which is just, you know, after the ACL tear he had a few years ago, you know, in his debut for the senior team, he just, a bad run of luck. He hasn't really convinced Simeone yet that he can be an impactful player. Is it possible that he stays in your mind, or is he on his way out? Will Atletico look to sell him next month?
Well, see, Atletico need to be really careful as well with who they're selling, because they've got a I'd say an imminent transfer ban coming up, it looks like, for the next 2 years. So they have to be really careful. And going back to what I said earlier about kind of accumulating talent and emerging talent, that's essentially what they're doing. And they're not going to be able to just sell Baston and assume that everything will be okay with Gamero, with maybe Torres for another year, and things like... Oh, no, sorry, it'll be a year and a half. It'll be a year and a half. So
yeah, it'd be two windows.
Yeah, so, I mean, they have to be really careful here. And also, maybe sending him... Will he get enough minutes? Like, Angel Correa has... He wanted to maybe go out on loan or that, and Simeone promised him minutes. So he's going to have to get enough minutes also. And he was excellent last year. Really excellent.
Yeah,
really
Correa's going to get a lot more time this year. He has to. He's going to be a special player.
Yeah, and, like, I mean, Simeone can't be going around promising everyone minutes, and I think Baston has earned minutes somewhere, right? Whether or not it's Atletico Madrid, he earned minutes somewhere. And I know Eibar were, they fell apart at the end of last season, but, like, if they, no, he's not, obviously not going to go back there, but, like, someone maybe, like, I'm not sure who he could even go to, but I'd say he will go out on loan, but it doesn't look like he's going to, like, Atletico, they're not going to get stung again by a lack of a striker. I think Simeone prepares too well, and he's been hurt now a couple of times by the lack of a striker, and that's not going to be something. And I don't think he can take that risk on Baston unless he's certain he's going to score him 15
and
goals.
And it's that uncertainty that I think, yeah, you're right, I think is kind of fueling this.
Yeah,
and if Atletico were not a side that had made two Champions League finals in 3 years, and were so desperate to lift that first European Cup, I think it'd be different.
Yeah,
I think they'd be more willing to give him a chance. But I saw a report linking him with a move to West Brom and a couple other Premier League sides. With the money coming out of the Premier League right now, I think it would be wise to dangle him there and try to make a tidy profit on him, especially considering his stock has never been higher.
Yeah, yeah.
No, he's going to recover from a broken arm. I mean, you can play through a broken arm.
Yeah.
Sort.
Yeah, I think he's fine. It was, And, yeah, West Brom would really suit him. I actually didn't see that rumor. Was that a permanent deal, yeah?
It'd be a permanent deal. Yeah, yeah. I think 18 million quid was the number quoted.
Yeah?
Well, yeah, so.
Yeah, no, that's...
It'd be a pretty good deal. If that offer is really on the table, it'd be a pretty good deal.
Yeah, and, but the other thing is that he's 23 and Atletico are banned from buying people in the next 2 years, so
yeah.
The next two transfer windows. So they have to be really, really careful here. Like, it's not a case
they,
of...
They have to be truly convinced that he's not the guy.
Exactly, yeah. So
maybe they are. But.
Yeah, they'll probably give him a pre-season, maybe up until maybe... I don't know, the first week, we'll see how he trains, see how he develops, and then, not that you're going to develop a whole lot in a couple of months, but just see how he does in pre-season and whether or not he's going to give him a go, and if not, that's a really good price for him from West Brom, and I think he'd suit West Brom as well. Salomon Rondon did really well, and he's kind of a similar striker to Baston, so I think... I won't say everyone wins in that instance because Atletico might not, but it's a lot of money and, it's nearly half of what you're paying for Gamero. So, we'll have to see, though, whether or not Simeone thinks that he has any chance of making it at Atletico. And if he does, he has to keep him.
Yeah, and that's an important point, too. The financial outlay isn't so important this summer because, and for one, there was a report in Marca a couple weeks ago that Atletico are going to have a record transfer budget next summer, although it might not matter because they'll have a transfer ban, but they'll have a record budget to spend on new players. But also, you have this transfer ban coming up, so you need to make sure the cupboards are stocked. You need to have a squad that is good enough to challenge next season and for most of the season after, 2017-18.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and that's what our good friend Victor, who writes for us there over at Inter Calderon, he was talking about the left-back situation. We've no immediate replacement for Felipe Luis, who is now 30, almost 31. So if you're looking at a year and a half until he, like, if he starts to decline next year...
Perish the thought.
Yeah, absolutely. who's going to come in. So we were talking about Theo Hernandez, who's a left back, and Atletico were linked with another Brazilian left back who's actually right footed, but he's quite attacking, can also defend from. I'm not entirely sure where Theo was, or where Victor was saying he was from, but yeah, they were talking about that, and like, they just have to be so careful with allowing people to go out and on loan, and making sure that we have backup for these players. And they're going to have to, maybe if word comes down that ban is arriving and it's going to come in, they're going to have to, as you say, stock the cupboards, and I they know that as well as anyone. So
yeah,
and they've got that with Versalco at right back. They've got, they're really well positioned at centre back. All Blacks okay in goals. Defensively, they're grand. Midfielder grand, but then up front is really it's worrisome, you know.
And that's kind of the risk. That's probably the biggest risk if you buy Gamero. He's 29.
Yeah,
you know. So and you will he continue to stay at this level for another year or two? Or
yeah,
that's the risk involved in it.
Yeah, I mean, he really did revitalize his career from moving from PSG to Sevilla. But and I really love him playing. But see, it's such a different thing when you're talking about how much you like a player, not when he's playing for a team that you're not really invested in. You know what I mean? You can say he's great, yeah, very good. He does these things are great. He's excellent. Love watching him play. But then, would you take him on your team?
I don't know.
Yeah, that's, and it's kind of like putting your money where your mouth is, like, you know, and that's how you kind of separate the wheat from the chaff, and whether or not you would actually buy a guy. And Gamero is that player for me. I love watching him for Sevilla. I think he's exciting to watch. He's quick. He gets in behind. He's able to get in behind defenses. He does well in tight spaces. He's fiery. He's decent in the air. He's lively. But if you're to tell me he's going to be your number one striker for the next 2 years, is that okay? I'm not sure if I am okay with that. You know
yeah,
I mean?
It's so, risky, but. We'll see what happens, what comes exactly of it, if it actually does go through.
Absolutely. We're talking here like as if he's Diego Costa II. He's our player already.
You know, he's not. And truth be told, Costa was not my first option.
Yeah.
Really? He wasn't going to be my first guy I'd bring back. I would have killed to see Aubameyang join, but that was never happening.
Yeah, no, he's amazing. I'll be honest with you, Costa's my first choice, definitely. Icardi is a close second, but in terms of, I think Costa, absolutely perfect fit for absolutely everything Simeone is looking for. In a
If he's fit, that is.
Yeah, well, that's true. Yeah, that's another thing, yeah. But no, I mean, I think in terms of, and from what I've seen from Icardi, he's an excellent option there too.
And he's young, and he's from Argentina.
Yeah, so.
But it looks like he's probably going to stay at Inter. I think his wife is just asking for more money.
All right, yeah. Well, I saw a report then that Mancini and him were going to have to discuss their futures or something, and it was unclear as to what Inter were going to do.
Oh, that sounds fun. That sounds like it could go really well. Not.
Yeah.
We should have the Serpents of Madonina guys on here to talk about that.
Yeah. I'm sure we'll be getting plenty of guys around the SB Nation camp to talk to us. And
yeah, as the season draws closer, be on the lookout for some special guests within the SB Nation network and around Spain, around Europe.
Yeah,
we got some big things planned.
And Martin, too, a shout out to Martin, our other writer over there.
Martin, great guy.
He's the man.
Great writer.
Yep.
Yeah, top lad. So let's move on to the fixture list that came out last week and what it looks like for Atletico. It's kind of tough to do these because the season is still a month away and you have to play everyone twice, home and away. Some may say the order doesn't matter. You have to play everyone anyway.
Yeah.
I choose to take a slightly different look and not analyze it with a magnifying glass, but look at it through a critical lens anyway and what the expectations are going to be for Atletico based on that. And they start the season with two of their promoted sides. Alaves at home on the 21st of August, unless Liga Santander changes it.
Yeah.
That's right. They have a new sponsor, Liga Santander, now.
Yep.
So they start with Alaves, and then they go to Leganes. Their first season in La Liga, got to be a thrill for them.
Yeah, should be interesting to see that one. Those first two. I mean, they don't have to travel anywhere for the first two games, so then they go up to Vigo. And
which, you know, Balaidos is usually a really tough place to play. They won there last year.
Yeah, and it's a kind of a different, two different styles playing against each other, and they're usually really entertaining battles, and they beat us in the Copa del Rey last year as well. And
they did.
Yeah, so, yeah, that's going to be really, those ones are always interesting. I really like watching Celta Vigo play, so.
Yeah, they lost Nolito, but I think that they do a really good job replacing their guys, and they have a deep squad. Barito, I think, is a good manager, really good fit for them.
Yeah, yeah.
He's a guy who has been actually talked about as a potential Simeone replacement. I know, I don't even like thinking about it.
Yeah, yeah.
He's a guy who has been mentioned on that short list for a little while now.
Right, yeah.
Let's hope it never happens, though.
Yeah, I wonder actually. Yeah, I wonder who is on that short list. It's going to be a really difficult.
I don't even want to know.
Yeah.
I was going to bring up this point earlier. We were talking about Felipe and how, you know, he's getting a little older. Can we mention that he got a haircut and it somehow looks worse?
Yeah, what is there?
It somehow looks worse.
The unspoken, like, what's up with your hair, man?
I don't know. He somehow, it looks uneven. Is it long? Is it not? Oh.
Yeah, it's...
I just wanted to briefly mention that.
Is it straight? It's like it seems like it's made of concrete, or it's made out of wax or something.
Wax, yeah.
It doesn't move.
Yeah.
Yeah. But on that same token, what a left back.
It is class, world-class left back.
Oh, amazing.
And Juan really brought to the craft.
He really got into his stride near the end there last season. Absolutely amazing.
He did. He was great after the first couple months when we had to get the Chelsea out of him.
Yeah, yeah.
We had to get the Jose out of him.
He was scarred from that, definitely. Yeah, he didn't enjoy himself. Yeah. Confidence was low.
But he really came on. Fifth week, we go to Barcelona at the Camp Nou. Last time we were there, last two games there, we've lost 2-1. It was in the Champions League when Torres got sent off and Suarez scored twice.
Yeah.
Didn't quite knock Atletico out, though, as we know.
No. Yeah, Barcelona are interesting this year. They're, like... I think they might struggle to replace Diego Alves. So yeah, I'm not sure like what's going to happen there.
Well, the talk with Barca was that, you know, it was all about getting that fourth striker, and Vieto was linked, Correa was linked, even.
Yeah, yeah.
Gamero was the popular name, but not at the price that he's being quoted at. But now they've gone and spent 50 million or thereabouts on Andre Gomez from Valencia. Yeah.
Which is really strange because they're not actually...
Really? I think he's a good fit, but he's not really a signing that they needed.
No. And they don't have a whole bunch of money either, and a couple of contract renewals there. I know they sold Mark Bartra and that, but that was only 8 million. They brought in Gomez. Yeah. They're probably going to sell Turan maybe for 20...
Yeah, Art is gone now.
Yeah.
There's no question. He said he didn't want to leave, but Barcelona's saying, yeah, we want you to leave.
Yeah, and then they'll probably throw the 25 million they get for him at Vieto, and that'll be that done.
Yeah, they've pretty much blown their transfer kitty here on taking Andre Gomez from Real Madrid.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is really funny if you think about it.
Yeah, and I know maybe people that follow me on Twitter are probably giving out about the amount of... not really that much, but maybe I talk a lot about Malcolm Gladwell, and in his most recent podcast, he was discussing about how soccer is a weak link sport. So, say basketball, it's a strong link. Like, you're as good as your superstar, because the superstar can get the ball at a certain area, go to the basket, score, and it's less basketball is decided less on errors by the weakest players, whereas football, one weak player, like, everyone can't be Messi and run to get the ball. He's dependent on a lot more players, so it's a weak link sport, so you're only as good as your worst player. And I think that Barcelona have an issue at right back, and they also have a competition issue at left back. Not competition issue, but they brought in Lucas Digne there.
Digne was a weird signing
to
me. He's young, which is good. But
yeah, so they're gonna he's going to put... I think also that they don't really have enough competition at centre-back as well. So, I mean, it's a really strange one in terms of... Depending on how Umtiti does, but... Yeah, you're only as good as your worst player, and I think they've got a couple of issues there, and also no strength and depth. So that might prove an issue for them, you know?
You'd think so, but then they have three guys who can fix pretty much any problem.
Yeah, I mean, that's it.
And Messi, Neymar, and Suarez, who can fix just about any problem. I mean, the squad that won the Champions League, you know, in 2015, it was not the most balanced squad, but because those three did everything, it didn't matter.
Yeah. But to be honest with you, I'd prefer to be relying on an Atletico Madrid-style system where they don't really have any...
I would too.
Okay, yeah, striker is an issue. But their worst players are really, really good still. Do you know what I mean? They've no real weak links. So, yeah, sure, if Messi and Suarez and Neymar play to their ability, grand, they have the ability to win... a treble again, and they always will pretty much every year, but I'd be a little bit more concerned about them maybe this year than in previous years.
They seem a little wobbly, but we'll find out for sure when the season starts.
Yeah.
So Atletico go there on September 21st. Game at Sevilla on October 23rd. Usually a very tough place to go. Sevilla, very good at home.
Mm.
The first Madrid derby is on November 20, a little later this year.
Yeah.
But it's at the Calderon. The hopefully, the last Madrid derby at the Calderon, although you never know. We'll probably draw them in the Champions League again.
Yeah, well, wait till the final.
I just assume it at this point.
Yeah, yeah.
Then away to Villarreal on December
11.
Mm. So a lot of very difficult away games. Away to Sevilla, away to Barcelona, away to Villarreal, and away to Valencia in the first half of the season.
Well, I mean, we're going to see how
and Athletic at the very end.
Yeah, yeah. They'll probably be better this year, a lot better. Villarreal, we'll see how they do in terms of they've got Champions League football this year, so that
kind of,
that tends to derail teams who don't really recruit well and who aren't used to recruiting. And I mean, it sounds easy and we've all played Football Manager and we think we're great at it, but in real life, like, the recruitment process is, once you do reach Champions League, is a weird one. Like, you know, look at, let's say, Liverpool a couple of years ago. Were not prepared for the Champions League. Went out in the group stages and struggled massively in the league, you know. So, yeah, we'll see how Villarreal do. But, yeah, it's going to be a really good game. It's exciting to look forward to it. I just look forward to having
in the second half of the back. Season. Oh, go ahead.
Oh, no, sorry, I was just going to say, I can't wait for that first weekend, man. Oh,
it's exciting. Yeah. I can't wait either. You know, starting to count down the days here.
Mm, really
for what
exciting
should be
stuff.
Another great season. And in the second half of the season, a lot of those tough away games are going to be at the Calderon.
Yeah, yeah. So,
at the Vicente Calderon. And then the last game of the season at home against Athletic, which is kind of fitting since Atletico are an offshoot of Athletic.
Yeah, yeah. I picked
up. Not sure a lot of fans know that Atletico were founded as an offshoot of the Basque Giants.
Yeah, I'm actually in my quest to learn Spanish. I picked up a book on Atletico. It's a children's book, and one of the, I think it's the second page, and it's explaining all that to me. So, yeah.
Oh, very
cool. I still
don't
really. I know that from the pictures, and I know some of the words, but some of them, like. All the ones that just translate directly, like televisión, things like that. So yeah. My Spanish is excellent.
Oh, you're moving to Madrid. It better be.
Yeah, yeah. It will get better. Right, I know that.
I'm jealous that everyone is in Spain but me.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm stuck in, you know, the United States on the West Coast.
Yeah.
Where it's, you know, 110 degrees outside.
All right. Yeah. Well, it's Ireland here at the moment, and it is actually quite warm. But, yeah, we get plenty of rain here, too, so I'd take 110 degrees right now, to be honest with you.
You say that, but then you're actually out here. At least it's not humid.
Yeah, yeah. That's true. Is it breeze in Arizona, is there?
There is a little bit. You know it's hellish outside when the wind blows and it's hot.
Yeah, oh yeah.
When the wind is hot, you know you need to stay inside.
Yeah, there's literally no escape. There is no escape.
There really isn't.
Yeah. And well, it was warm there in Ireland for a couple of days, and we had no, like, we don't have air conditioning or anything like that in our houses. So you have to kind of keep the windows open or something, or the doors open, what I tend to do is get into the car and turn the air conditioning on if it's really warm, but it rarely gets to that point.
Yeah, so, here we are just so reliant on it. If the AC breaks, it's like a nightmare. It's a trauma.
Yeah, we don't even have fans.
You can't overcome.
Yeah. No, I'm looking forward to that in Madrid, but in Ireland we don't have to worry about that too much for now anyway.
Yeah, a little envious.
Yeah.
We're just wrapping up here. We have a mailbag entry to talk about before we sign off. And just as a reminder, you can feel free to hit us up on Twitter at Into the Calderon. You can hit either of us up on our main accounts, our personal accounts. I'm at JB Barron. Robbie is at Bob Donadini. And you can even ask us questions on Facebook. We have a Facebook page as well. Search for us on there. Even email if that is your preferred route of questioning. But we're always open and ready to discuss these questions and analyze what the fans have to say. This is from the Into the Calderon comments section from the username Czar. It's about the future of the left back position. We touched on it a little bit earlier, but Felipe is obviously getting a little older, and the transfer ban's coming up. Lucas may be more of a center back than a left back.
Yeah.
Atletico have already signed Rosalco to back up Juan Fran. So what is the future of left back? I think Lucas can project as a left back. I think Felipe is still going to be good for the next couple of years. He's a world-class quality left back. Yeah. And Atletico are well-stocked at center back with Godin, Josema, Savic as well. That Lucas, if everyone's fit, Lucas won't need to play at center back very much.
Yeah. Yeah, I probably have Lucas center back, but as Victor was saying earlier, what will probably happen, Theo Hernandez has been linked with Alaves for a year, where he will most likely start and get quality minutes.
That'd be very good for his development.
Yeah, and we saw Versalco played actually left back against Spain in the Euros, so he can play there if Felipe needs a break. And he's probably still a step up then from Jesus Gámez and Guillermo Siqueira.
So, definitely ahead of Siqueira. Yeah,
so then you've got, this is short term, this year we'll probably have three options. Felipe, obviously, number one. Lucas, and then Versalco. You can pick and choose whoever you want to step in there at any given time. And then long-term, Theo Hernandez comes back. He'll only be on loan, and he'll probably step in and start there once Felipe starts to head towards the end of his career. And, yeah, I think that's what you're looking at. And then it'll be recruitment again, I'd say.
Yeah, one injury can really derail all this, but it looks to me like Atleti are set.
Yeah,
at left back, and even if Theo does take some time to develop, Lucas can play there. Versalco can play there, although I think he'll mostly serve as Juan Fran's backup.
Yeah,
and Juan Fran's time will be cut a little bit this year. He played 4,000 minutes last year. I'm not sure that can happen again, and you can still compete on three fronts.
Yeah, and if Felipe does get injured, it's not. You would worry at that point, but if he stays fit and then steps out when necessary by choice, and then it should be fine. Lucas and Versalco will step in there and we'll be fine, I'd say.
And then you're looking at a recruitment drive probably in 2018.
Yeah.
When you'll have more money to do so anyway.
Exactly, yeah.
I don't think left back is really a position of worry as of now. And until further notice, Felipe is one of the best left backs and one of the best fullbacks in the world.
Yeah.
I don't think it's really a concern unless he gets severely injured, which he obviously has in his career. When he was at Deport, he had a really serious injury.
Yeah.
But that was several years ago.
Even though he is going on 31, he's not the kind of player who, not that he's not physical, but he's not that quick, and he probably doesn't pick up that many muscle injuries or
impact. No, his game is not predicated on power.
No, neither.
He's not a huge hulking guy.
No, he's more technique, so that will suit him well coming in. And defenders tend to kind of develop it, or not develop, I suppose, I suppose he probably has peaked. We've seen the best of him, but will remain at that level for another year or two.
I agree.
Should be fine. Yeah. And he also had a year off, remember, at Chelsea. So
yeah.
He can add another year
he
on
did.
At the end
he
of his career.
He basically sat on the bench that entire season.
Yeah, he was on vacation in London, man.
Yeah, pretty good vacation spot.
Yeah, not bad.
And they were still in the EU at that time as well.
Mm.
I got you there.
I was trying to think of a Brexit with Felipe Luis, but it would have been like, wouldn't have worked.
That's kind of a tough comparison to draw.
Brazilian. Nah, I don't know.
Getting there.
Yeah, no.
Getting there, definitely.
Yeah, no, there's too many vowels. Like, it's just, I'll have a think about it and I'll get back to you on Twitter.
Yeah, maybe for the second one.
And if I don't get back to you, just drop it because I haven't thought about it smart enough. So.
Consider the matter dropped, yeah. If that's the case.
Thanks for the question, though, Sarah.
Yeah, very good question. And remember, you can hit us up on a variety of media. And we'll take the best questions each week and we'll go from there. Well, that just about does it for us, Robbie. Any last thoughts?
Not really. Hope you enjoy the first podcast. We'll get better. We'll, or worse, we will move somewhere, though. It won't stay like this. We'll either get better or we'll get progressively worse, which is...
And then just abandon the whole project. Well, let's not go there.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's not be so gloomy.
Delete all traces off the internet. No, we're going to keep it going. We're going to bring in guests. And yeah, it's exciting. Looking forward to it.
It's going to be great. And the schedule for now is you can expect one every week until the season starts. And then we'll probably redo the schedule once the season starts. Mm. We could do twice a week if time permits.
Yeah.
But that's under discussion still.
Yeah, we'll figure it out.
We will. But thanks so much for listening. We really appreciate it. And remember, follow us on Twitter at Into the Calderon. You follow me at JB Barron. Follow Robbie at Bob Donadini. Like us on Facebook. We're really friendly people. And that's about it for now. So thanks again for listening, and we'll catch you next time on Coach Narrow Chat.